Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. Please go to the website foundationathearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Come along and join me for a visit with Brad Toll, President and CEO of Discover Green Bay. I love it. And here we are discovering it.
Yes. Thank you. Can't wait to share it with you.
Thank you for meeting up with me. This is great.
Absolutely.
Before we rolled tape, you were talking about going way back in time, the indigenous people here.
Yeah, the indigenous people in our region of Wisconsin, we have 11 tribes here now. The original people from this area were the Ho-Chunk and the Menominee tribes. And they were here, of course, for generations. And the Europeans, French, Jean-Nicolet, arrived in 1634.
Wow.
So 14 years after the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. So we're by far the oldest permanent settlement in the state of Wisconsin, but we actually are one of the older settlements in the country.
That's really cool.
And a big part of that, you know, they were coming through the St. Lawrence Seaway and through the Great Lakes, and they were looking for a passage to the east, the Far East. And they came down into the Bay of Green Bay and found the Fox River. The Fox runs right through the city of Green Bay. Really, it dissects our community. Our municipality is to the south of that area as well. Of course, that was great travel by canoe through the state of Wisconsin. And they put together a permanent settlement here to trade with the tribes that were located in Wisconsin.
Interesting. Jumping forward, the Fox River has always remained an integral part of your growth and dynamism, but I seem to recall a period of time where it kind of became a backyard, an alley in a sense, but you guys have turned that around majorly.
Yeah, I think that's happened to so many cities in America, not unlike the other ones. The paper industry is huge here. In fact, we've been called the paper capital of the world. We invented splinter-free toilet paper. You're welcome. But the river, of course, was used in the production of paper, and it really was an industrial tool, if you will, transportation tool along the river. And the city really did have its back to the river. Mm-hmm. And probably about 15 years ago, there was a real effort to change that. Now we've got the city deck right down on the riverfront in downtown Green Bay. We love to hang out there in the summer.
But 10 years ago, nobody would go there.
You went downtown, but you were on the other side of the buildings. In the center part of town, no one really hung out in the river. We still have 230 or so ships that come into the port every year. We have a cruise ship now that's coming in.
Wow. But your riverfront is very much a part of activities and social life now.
It is, and it's appreciated. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of work cleaning it up. You know, of course, the paper industry left some gifts behind. We've spent a number of years really rejuvenating the river, and it's a beautiful resource now and a part of recreation when people come into Green Bay.
And I think it's worth talking about because that's an element of Green Bay that doesn't hit the radar sometimes. It's just kind of there. You know, there's, like we talked about earlier, when you're driving into Green Bay, last night the driver goes, "Oh, we're in Green Bay. I can see the stadium."
Yeah.
It's kind of like the major landmark for miles around.
We did some rebranding over the last few years, and one of the surveys we did of people throughout the country on an executive level, one of the surprising things that came back was people didn't realize we were on water. Mm-hmm. The Bay part in our name would be right. sort of a giveaway big clue, I would think. But people were surprised because the football stereotype or persona mm-hmm. is so strong that people didn't notice. And as we put our brand together, one of the symbols is called a wave ball. And you can tell the laces of the football are there, so it's a football, but it's mm-hmm. in a wave. And those were the two things, the iconic football team, but we really wanted to bring forward. We're a water city, mm-hmm. right 30, 40 miles from Lake Michigan on the Bay of Green Bay, a river coming through. Water is very important to us.
And Green Bay is so big in itself, it might as well be Lake Michigan at times.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah, you're very close. In fact, one of the biggest beaches in our area is over in Algoma, which is probably 30, 40 miles from city center in Green Bay. And it's a lovely area that also has beautiful vineyard and winery in that area, Von Steele. Got a great craft brewery there, little cafes and restaurants. So it's a town when people come and they say they want to see Lake Michigan. I mean, the bay is really part of Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. but they want to see it. We send them over to Algoma because it's nice and close and it's a beautiful little town.
So basically half hour away.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yep.
What are some of the other under the radar things that people don't first know or realize that's here? It's a real...
Yeah, I think the arts surprise a lot of people. We have a number of galleries and artists that create some pretty cool things. The downtown area is filled with murals. We have a mural and busker festival every year. I think it's in June. They paint typically about 10 murals in the downtown area every year. And there is beautiful art on buildings around a lot of areas. Like I said, there's a number of art galleries, mm-hmm. live music. You can't go typically Thursday through a Saturday night. There's live music all over. Many places that you would go, you would find it. And that's from bands, bigger bands, to, just somebody that loves to play guitar.
Local groups,
And entertain. So mm-hmm. it's a wide variety. And, of course, we have some large venues, too. 2,000-seat theaters, 10,000-seat arena that bring in A-list entertainment mm-hmm. from throughout the country and throughout the world. So
when we were talking earlier about the classic Fox Theater, which has been totally restored.
Fox Theater dates back, I believe, to the 1920s is when it was built, so mm-hmm. nearly 100 years old. It is stunning. It's really fun to go to an evening concert or see a comedian or something there, and you just marvel at the beauty of the building. And it surprises people. You think stadium in football, mm-hmm. you don't picture yourself at a symphony concert in downtown Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay Packers cast a large shadow.
It's a big shadow. We like it, though.
Yeah, definitely a magnet. Is there a university and college presence in Green Bay?
Yeah, there is. UWGB, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, is located out along the bay. It's a stunning campus. They have...
How many kids are there, roughly?
It's closing in on 10,000 mm-hmm. students now. It continues to grow. It's one of the fastest growing universities in the state of Wisconsin. We also have a liberal arts college called St. Norbert, and that's located in De Pere, which is just on the south side of the city of Green Bay. Beautiful campus as well, located, of course, right on the Fox River. So they have
really
a crew
cool.
team, and it's fun to go there. I mentioned the arts, both UWGB mm-hmm. and St. Norbert have beautiful theater programs and music programs.
Every American town and city that I go to, those that have this vitality and that are mm-hmm. attractive and doing cool things, there's always that underpinning. It might be a community college, state college, universities, but there's something that brings the young vitality and energy. Is that part of the dynamic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here?
That's where a bunch of it comes from. Mm-hmm. We also have a technical college, Northeast Wisconsin Technical College. They probably have the most students. I think they're around 20,000 or so. So we've got a pretty good student population.
Yeah, you do. What's the total population of the city of Green Bay?
The city is about 105,000. And with our, I guess you'd call them suburbs, we're at about 300,000, just uh-huh. under.
And then one more aside about Green Bay Packers. It's a cute story that you guys talk about being the smallest town in America with NFL team.
Yeah, the history, I think, of the Packers is what makes them so popular. We have fans that come from the UK, from all over Europe, Australia, Mexico, and we ask all the time, what drew you to the Packers? Mm-hmm. How did you even find us?
Right.
And it is that idea that it's a professional team, sports team, but it's owned by fans. We have over 500,000 shareholders now, and literally the shareholders are from all over the world.
And I love that too, the only nonprofit NFL team in America.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the history of how that happened, Curly Lambeau was playing football in high school here. He went to college at Notre Dame, and he ended up, I think he was sick or something happened, he had to have surgery. And he didn't go back to school for one of the semesters, and he got a job at a meatpacking company in Green Bay. Then he heard that there was this league forming that was playing football, and he talked the packing company into giving him money for the franchise fee and to pay for uniforms. And so, you know, they did the first time. It was one of Curly's hobbies, whatever, Curly.
Right.
And then that folded, and there was another one that was started. So we went back to him and said, hey, can you, you know, front me some more money? And they're like, great hobby, Curly, but no. And so he went to some of the people in the community and asked for money to help him form this team, and it became a public team.
I love it.
But our colors were blue and gold in the very beginning.
Oh, really?
Green and gold in the blue and gold. I don't know for certain, but I'm guessing there was some Notre Dame influence there.
Oh, yeah.
He liked those colors. So the history of the team is really remarkable. I think five different times they nearly went bankrupt. But there's great tours here that you can do. They do a trolley tour, the Packers, in a lot of those places, the packing company and Curly's birthplace, all these places all still exist.
That's really
cool. People drive by them in Green Bay every day having no idea the history that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. The Packers have a museum at Lambeau Field. It's fantastic. It's fun to come and experience and learn some of the crazy history and, of course, then cheer on the team on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more about the big picture of Green Bay is some of the outstanding things that first come to your mind, kind of the must-dos.
You know, one of my favorite attractions, if you're asking about attractions, is the Automobile Gallery. It's such a surprise. It was a gentleman that owned a car wash company, and he created some of the technology for touch-free.
I met him.
Yeah. Red Lewis.
Yes.
He's since passed, which is sad.
Yeah.
But he restored cars and did it for many, many years. They have over 100 different cars, and he didn't know what to do with them as he was aging. His kids didn't really want 50 older cars. So, you know, he was looking at maybe giving them away or whatever. They started a nonprofit and have this museum that actually is in an old car dealership.
It was like, wasn't it like a Cadillac
dealership?
Yeah,
it was a Cadillac dealership. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so he started this. One might call it a museum. He called it a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Automobile Gallery because the car is the art in the gallery. And they have over 100 vehicles. They have everything from like a 2021 Ford is a GT, I think. I mean, it's nearly $1 million car.
Whoa.
Brand new. I think it has 4 or 5 miles on it.
That's crazy.
To a Model T.
Mm-hmm. My favorites were like his classic big boat 50s,
yeah,
like the 59 Cadillac. Well, not
there's
that.
Some beauties. He has Bart Starr's Corvette that he got when he won the first Super Bowl and was the MVP. They have that vehicle. The Starrs gave it to him. So, yeah, amazing. It's a great, great place. So there's surprises like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a beautiful botanical garden, lovely zoo, spectacular hiking trails, hiking, biking, in the winter, of course, fat biking, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing.
Mm-hmm.
There's trails literally everywhere. There's one that's over 80 miles long that starts in Green Bay. So
you know what I just learned? I always thought, like, living in a beach town in California, that the fat tires, of course, it was surfers that invented it, but it wasn't. It was snow people that first.
It works really well on snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was crazy that you go for a bike ride, but they're all groomed. at least the ones that they're doing the fat biking on. So,
and now they're e-bike too.
Yeah, so that's my kind of bike.
I hear you. So Green Bay, it follows it also, like we alluded to, going to the beach on the lake shore, that it's a great base camp. Mm-hmm. After you spend a week doing the local stuff, then you could start doing day trips out and about. Where would be some of your number one hits?
Probably the number one day trip is Door County. People love going up. In fact, most people in Green Bay go to Door County 3-4 times every year. That's probably one of my favorite. And if you think Cape Cod, this is sort of the Midwest version of Cape Cod. Mm-hmm. Beautiful little villages filled with artists and little galleries and shops and cafes, beautiful beaches. And I mean, you can get away at one of the biggest parks is Peninsula State Park. You know, people everywhere on the streets shopping and doing whatever. And then you go into this park that's right there amongst all of this, and you're in the middle of nature. Mm-hmm. Spectacular in the fall, beautiful in the winter. But of course, summer is probably the most popular time period. So that's number one. In fact, when we market, we do a lot of partnering with Door County because they realize a lot of people fly into Green Bay and are probably doing that day trip or a couple day trip to Door County. So
did you do some partnerships with John Jarge there?
Yeah. Yep, with John and Julie is their CEO now. Mm-hmm. We were just at a conference over in the Twin Cities. So they're great partners. But in the area south of us, Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac are some of the cities along the Fox. Manitowoc, Sheboygan are over on the lake side on the coast of Lake Michigan.
Sheboygan, I went there and they go, you know, this is the Malibu of the Midwest. Did they tell you about that?
Well, I've heard them say that, yeah.
And that's because they go out surfing in the winter time.
You need a wetsuit, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Probably in the summer you need a wetsuit. The lake is pretty cold. It freezes over occasionally in the winter. Mm-hmm. It's been a few years since I think it froze over completely. The bay freezes, but we have ice cutters that come in with the Coast Guard and open it up. But, you know, during the harshest part of the winter, basically the port is closed for ship traffic.
So the ice fishermen and their shanties come
absolutely
out then? Yeah.
Yeah. Ice fishing is probably one of the things that people really, we don't think anything of it.
Right. But take it for granted.
Yeah. People coming in from other countries and in the southern part of the U.S., are a little surprised at that. And, you know, you think the pail and, you know, your line through the little hole in the ice, but some of these shanties are like houses practically.
I heard they have like TVs.
They do. TVs, satellite TV, and then the generators are running and they're making dinner. You just have to be careful when you're walking around in there that you're not stepping in the hole.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because there's holes in the floor, of course, where they're doing the fishing, but they sleep right in there out in the lake, drive their trucks and cars out.
And I know their businesses around the county that they take you on tours out there. Mm-hmm. As a tourist, you can go out ice fishing.
Yeah, we have charter fishing that happens all through the summer, of course. On the Bay of Green Bay, it's walleye and bass typically, and out on the lake, salmon, rainbow and brown trout. And then in the winter, of course, a lot of those charter fishing captains will do ice fishing opportunities as well. So, but I mean, people in Green Bay are so friendly. If you were out having lunch, talking to the people next to you, and you said, you know, I'm fascinated by this ice fishing, if they're an ice fisherman, you're on your way out the next day.
How cute.
Oh, well, come with me. I'm going tomorrow. So,
That implies there's still a small town dynamic here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Green Bay, a lot of times when people are leaving, they're surprised at our size because with a huge stadium like Lambeau Field, they expect to be bigger than it is.
Yeah.
But pleasantly surprised, we always hear the people are so friendly and it's not what they expected in that regard. And even tailgating before a game, people are grilling brats or steaks or whatever. And if you're just walking around, and look lost. They'll ask you where you're from, and pretty soon you're having a beer with them in a brat and learning all about Curly Lambeau history from their perspective. So,
you know, Brad, if this doesn't work out for you, you could do great at sales, because I just got here last night and you're making me want to come back.
I mean, well, I did work in sales for a little bit, but Green Bay is easy to talk about. It's a wonderful life.
It sells itself, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. I'd never get my wife to move again. Yeah. So we bounced around for quite a while. She's a flight attendant for Delta. So
you get to go on some cool trips.
But she's seen it as well. I mean, I've traveled a lot. She travels a ton. And we love Green Bay.
That's so cool.
It's always great to come home.
Okay, Brad, to learn more about your world, where's your go-to? What works the best for you guys, social media?
GreenBay.com is our website. And Discover Green Bay is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm in the office, our social media people, I tease them about, oh, I'm on TikTok, and always get harassed a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, they are doing an amazing job with that as well.
That's so cool. All right, Brad Toll, President and CEO of Discover Green Bay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
have a great time while you're here.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
And come back.
I will. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll see you here. Spencer Larson, we're at the mothership, right?
Titletown, USA, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And so your job here, your guest experiences?
Very involved in guest experience. I'm the manager for the Packers Hall of Fame and Stadium Tours Department.
So you know it well, huh?
I do, absolutely. Yeah, guest experience is the name of the game for everything across the board.
Tell us about the items that you have here that are just so cool, the must-dos if you were to take me on a tour.
Absolutely. So we have three different tour types. Classic tour is an hour where you go up to premium suite and then get to go through the tunnel down by the field area for photos. And then we have our champions and legendary tours that are a little bit longer, but provide a little bit more of an experience of the stadium. Get to look at some premium areas in the south side of the stadium, visit the rooftop area, which especially this time of year provides a great view of Green Bay with the fall colors. And you can see the bay up there that flows into Lake Michigan, and just unbelievable view.
The highest spot in the whole county, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, the rooftop, south rooftop is the highest point.
Yeah, my driver coming from Appleton got kind of disoriented, and he looks on the horizon, he goes, I know where I am. I'm like 10 miles away, saw the stadium.
Yeah, you can see it from virtually all of Green Bay, I think, because it's pretty flat, too. So it's definitely a landmark, and you can see that big G logo off in the distance.
So I imagine that the people that you meet that come here to tour, a lot of them are from Wisconsin, probably a lot from around the region, but around the world too, huh?
All over the world for sure, especially during training camp and then during the season. We see people from all over. It's not unusual for a tour of 30, 35 people for all of them or 90% of them to be outside the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Usually the tour guides ask at the start, you know, just shout out where you're from, where you're visiting from, and it's all different countries, regions, and just to see the excitement on people's faces as they come in is really a rewarding experience.
Do you have any foreign language tours that you can arrange if you have a group from Germany or wherever?
That's something we're looking at doing now. Mm-hmm. So we're currently translating the script into Spanish, and it's about halfway done at this point. Within the next couple months, we'll have Spanish as an option. We do offer interpreters as well on stadium tours. Mm-hmm. Even if something is last minute that comes up, we can hand out a copy of the script for people to follow along as well.
And it follows that you have that breadth of people. On the one end would be just the obsessive, compulsive football fanatics, right?
Absolutely.
This is a mandatory pilgrimage in their life.
It is, yeah. That's maybe one of the toughest parts for tour guides is balancing the details, all the history, and then the stadium information. Because we have people that, just like you said, are diehard fans and they know
all
everything.
The stats and yeah.
Yeah. So you want to include a lot of history and details for them, but then you also have maybe a family of four that's just visiting from Idaho or wherever, mm-hmm. and they know nothing about the Packers, and they don't necessarily care to know all the details of mm-hmm. the history and all of that. So they're more interested in the stadium, similar to like a school group that comes in. It's much more stadium based and mm-hmm. who's your favorite player and stuff like that versus the details of the history.
And on the stadium tour, where do you take people? What do they get to see? What do they have access to?
Each one's a little different. So the classic tour, which is our standard hour-long tour, that goes up to a premium suite through the tunnel. You get to do some photos down at field level. Champions tour goes up to the rooftop area, goes to Champions Club, which is our all-inclusive premium area on the south side. And then legendary tour goes to those same places, but it's 2 hours long and also goes to visitor locker room and the press box on that tour experience.
And it's interesting, the evolution of the stadium. I mean, it's just mind-blowing how it evolved from just a stadium. Talk to us about that second iteration.
It is, and it's truly amazing that Lambeau still has the same main structure, I guess you would say, but they've built around it and just made so many great additions, whether it was the Bob Harlan era or the Mark Murphy era now, just constant upkeep year-round to keep the stadium well-maintained. And then the biggest probably renovation, especially for our department, was adding that new renovation to the atrium, which started in the year 2000, opened in 2003, and that's when we started giving stadium tours. Mm-hmm. But it's truly amazing. We do over 600 non-football events now in the space, and it's
just pretty much
amazing.
Every day of the year something is going on here at the stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, I think we only had 2 days, Thanksgiving and Easter, that mm-hmm. the Hall of Fame was closed because we hosted the Cleveland Browns on Christmas, so we were even open that day. So literally every day, yeah, year-round, there's an mm-hmm. event going on.
So this really is, in a sense, a community center, kind of a civic center.
It is, yeah, not only for the locals, but even people from in the state and out of the state, people stop by if they're going to Door County or they're going to Upper Michigan or Upper Wisconsin to their cabin. They'll stop in and just grab a picture or take a quick tour mm-hmm. or visit the Hall of Fame. So it is a landmark in the community for sure.
And then you have dining on site, a restaurant?
We do, yeah. We have 1919 that's right in the atrium, and they have great food. It's a great spot to eat before or after a tour in Hall of Fame. It's literally right across.
In 1919 honors the formation of the modern iteration of the Green Bay Packers.
The year they were founded, mm-hmm. yep, 1919.
I love it. And then there's beer available here too, right?
There is, yep, absolutely.
So it's yeah. a brewery that's here, or what is it?
Yeah, 1919 isn't a brewery, so but they have a number of local beers, and then okay. across the street there is a brewery in the Title Town
That's
Entertainment
right.
District.
Yep. Yeah, and then it seems like right up front there's like a little ski slope for kids in the winter. Talk to us about some of the peripheral things.
Sure, yeah, we always recommend Title Town across the street. So that is a tubing hill, and then in the winter they also have ice skating out there too. So lots of things for families. There's a large playground over there that's free, a full-size football field that people in the community can use anytime. They have a lot of programming over there, restaurant, brewery, all kinds of different entertainment options over there and just across the street. So it's a great area to check out.
And then inches away from there, there's a new but legendary hotel owned by the Kohler family.
Lodge Kohler is located right there. Yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. We were just over there recently for a conference that we hosted, the International Sports Heritage Conference, this past fall, and people just had glowing reviews. It really is a great hotel, great space, and how great for people that stay there that you're not only in the Title Town District, but you're right across the street from Lambeau Field.
So it follows, it's sellout hotel rooms during any game time, right?
It does. I would imagine they'll sell out pretty much immediately when the schedule is released for the season.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit more about some of the must-do things you're most proud of that you think are coolest when you come here to Lambeau.
Yeah, Lambeau, it's kind of a one-stop shop. So the Pro Shop is another great area to check out. It's huge.
I heard it's the largest of any NFL team in America.
Well, it's hard to keep up now with all the new teams being added and renovations. But yeah, it's over 22,000 square feet. So it's a enormous space. They have, we tell in our tour script, everything you can put a G on, I think, is in there. And it's fun to walk through and just see all the items. And we even tell people, even if you're not a fan of the Packers, to walk through there and just see all the different items that are in there and maybe get a gift for someone when you're there. So that's definitely a must see when you're there, and it's right in the atrium. So everything's so close together too, the Pro Shop, Hall of Fame, where you check in for stadium tours, and then 1919, of course, right there too.
And then in the neighborhood, we were talking this morning about some of the 50-ish homes around the neighborhood that have gone viral with the colors and the logos and renting them out for people coming to the games. Tell us about that subworld.
Oh, it's amazing. The game day experience is just incredible. All those homes, and some are Airbnbs and some are just family homes too. And tailgating prior to games, Packer games, non-football events too. Like we had the soccer game this past summer, which was awesome. But the tailgate scene and just the energy around the stadium on game day is incredible. It's, besides the airport, it's probably the best people watching spot that you'll find.
That's really cool. For years, frankly, we talked about me being from Minnesota as a kid. I never quite fully understood the obsessive compulsive deal with cheeseheads until I came here and they explained that this is the only nonprofit NFL team in America. And the pride of the fans and the stockholders is unlike any other team in America.
It is, for sure. We have over 500,000 shareholders now, so we just had our sixth stock sale this past off season.
Did you buy a share?
I did not. My dad did.
Oh, there you go.
I did not personally buy a share.
So he covered for you.
He got me, yeah, for sure. But yeah, you get a certificate and everything. It's really cool. It's just cool to see the fan base. There's bumper stickers and T-shirts that say, you know, owner and stuff like that on them. And just the buy-in from the fans is just awesome. And it's something you literally don't see anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. The other disconnect that you guys were talking about earlier, this is the smallest town in America to host an NFL team. That's a real disconnect in itself.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, definitely the smallest. And I always tell people on that rooftop on the south side of the stadium, you can look around and there's just neighborhoods everywhere. It's Lambeau Field in the middle and then neighborhoods surrounding it. And it's something today that you'll probably never see a community as small as Green Bay get a professional sports team, just the way the structure is. And Green Bay is the way it is because of the history and how it was kind of built up over time. But from that rooftop, it's really amazing. It's probably my favorite view in the stadium to just kind of look around and see the whole community surrounding it. And there's no skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. There's not bumper to bumper traffic. It's just a small community with Lambeau Field right in the middle.
Oh, I love it. Anything you want to add, Spencer?
I mean, just encourage everyone to come in and check it out. It's a bucket list item for a lot of people. And whether you're a football fan or not, it's a great experience to check out. And Midwest people, I feel like, are some of the nicest in the world, too. Mm-hmm. And we have so many great tour guides and Hall of Fame employees on staff that are just customer service focused. And our number one goal is to make sure everyone that comes through has a great experience and has memories to take home.
Spencer Larson, Hall of Fame and Stadium Tours Manager, Green Bay Packers. I love it. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits for another riff? Spangled gowns upon the bevy of highbrow from down the levee, all misfits putting on the riff. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the wrist.